This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Today on the show, I'm speaking to Professor Ujjwal Kayande. He's the Director of Center of Business Analytics in Melbourne Business School. Professor Ujjwal is also the Professor of Marketing in Melbourne Business School and a Fellow in the Institute of Sustainability and Growth in the Fudan University, Shanghai, China. Professor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Absolutely my pleasure to be here.
And you are here in Malaysia to talk about analytics. Get paralyzed if you don't analyze. I like the term of, you know, your talk that you gave. Professor, can you give us a gist of that talk?
Absolutely. Happy to do that. So I think it's obviously a play off of the analysis paralysis that we absolutely know about. So now I think the point that I was trying to make here is that most organizations actually don't analyze their data. What they do is they describe their data, and they do that through business intelligence. And that's, I think, largely because most of the data-related activities have been driven by IT folks who are very much used to, writing queries and essentially producing reports. And they're standardized reports, they're ad hoc reports, but they're essentially more used to reporting and creating what I think are just more sophisticated forms of pivot tables and pivot charts in Excel. So that I don't call it analysis. Analysis is really trying to diagnose why certain things are happening, why you see the outcomes that you see, and then predict on that basis what is going to happen in the future, and also actually prescribe what the organization should actually be doing. Instead of just providing visibility into what they have already done, you need to provide visibility into what they should be doing into the future. And that is what I call analysis. And I think most organizations are actually not doing that part of analysis at all. And I believe that if they don't do that analysis part, they will get paralyzed in the future because their competitors are actually doing that.
So in a way, it is, you know, you use that data to look forward instead of companies that these days, you know, they look at the data to see what they did wrong behind them. You know, they keep looking back.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And I think that's been largely the function of business intelligence. If you want to go into the world of business analytics, that's what allows you to get that visibility and what you should be doing into the future. And that's where the real insights lie.
So let's, what's the impact then of, you know, using analytics in organizations today? Besides, you know, looking forward, where's the impact most felt?
Yeah, so there's actually been a few studies that have been conducted. Some of my colleagues in the U.S., in fact, Frank Gehrman, who used to be a PhD student at Penn State University, where I was in the faculty years ago. So Frank and his colleagues, who are also co-authors of mine, they've actually done fantastic study of organizations and try to understand the impact of analytics on financial performance. And what they've found is that it does have an impact, but what's most remarkable about their study is that they found that the impact is more than three times when you are actually in a very competitive environment. So in industries where there is a huge amount of competition, analytics provides you even more benefit. Most analytics, of course, is happening in the marketing domain. Supply chain has always had analytics. They've always been, because they've been much more engineering focused, they've always been analytically oriented. But marketing in particular has not been that way. And I think that's where the biggest influence is being observed, because of multiple reasons. I mean, the foremost of which is how much data is being produced about consumers. And I think that's where the impact is being felt most on the marketing world.
When you talk about marketing, is, you know, you hear these days about, you know, targeted marketing and how they are able to target specific kind of users and all. And I guess this comes from data analytics.
Absolutely, it does. And look, I think there's a lot of hype about it as well. I mean, any kind of data is being called big data. So people talk about the Obama campaign. And in fact, I talked about it in the talks that I gave in Kuala Lumpur over this couple of days. And people talk about big data and Obama campaign, et cetera, but actually they used small data. They didn't actually do the big data thing. They collected, data from 3,000 people on the basis of which they could then actually have this targeted strategy, which was absolutely beautiful. And the best way to describe it is what I say quite often. You know, the old way of marketing was taking a bunch of tomatoes and throwing them on a wall and hoping that some of them stick.
Yeah.
The new world of marketing is quite different, where you know which tomatoes to pick out of that bunch of tomatoes and you know which part of the wall to throw them at, because you know that they're going to stick over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got so many effects, Jeff, because it not only actually allows you to use your tomatoes, and by the way, tomatoes are just an analogy for marketing activities and advertising in particular.
Mm.
It not only allows you to use your tomatoes much more effectively and efficiently, but in fact, most remarkably, you don't need as many tomatoes anymore because you're not actually wasting.
Mm. And you become more efficient and more cost-saving.
So you don't do the spray gun kind of approach.
Yeah, yeah.
You're much more sensible in what you do.
And you tend to spend less time looking back then when you do your data in business intelligence or your data analytics. You because there were less that you throw on the wall.
Yeah, absolutely. So. But you do have to be, the only window you have into the future is the past.
Yeah.
But you can also conduct experiments. So some of the smartest organizations actually regularly conducting experiments to be able to understand what they should be doing into the future.
Now, you talked about how, certain industries, they have been using data analytics for a while now.
Yeah, yeah.
But marketing is one of the new industry verticals that, I've seen driving, that it's making us also talk about it and stand up and notice about this. How did we reach this stage, though? I mean, what's the driver that's pushing us to new levels of data analytics?
Yeah, so I think let me just clarify very quickly that when I said some industries have been leaders in this, and in fact, marketing within those industries. So, for example, in the retail world, data analytics has been used since the late 70s, early 80s, wow, when scanner data was introduced in the United States. So in hypermarkets, supermarkets, it's being used for a long time, perhaps not in the in the world that we are in right now, which is Malaysia, but in the United States, it's been used since the late 70s, early 80s. Companies like Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Nestle have been using analytics for a very long time. However, there are other organizations like many of the B2B companies don't use it even in marketing. So I think even in marketing, there's some companies that have been using it for a long time and it's been ingrained in their culture to use analytics. But in other instances, they haven't really. And most organizations are still not using analytics to the extent that they can.
Mm. But what's driving these other industries, to really now use analytics? Is it because we live in this digital world where everything's being produced in data?
I think you're absolutely right. So the availability of data, and I think that's been enabled primarily by technology. And I think that's really, made people move towards this world of analytics driving their business decisions. I don't think they're there yet, but certainly the first condition is to have the data. And technology has been producing the data for these companies, which is absolutely fantastic.
Hmm. I'm speaking to Professor Ujwal Kayande. He's the Director for Center of Business and Analytics in Melbourne Business School. And we are talking about analytics. Get paralyzed if you don't analyze. We'll talk more when we come back in just a moment. This is BFM 89.9. This is Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandu, and I'm speaking to Professor Ujwal Kayande. He's the Director for Center of Business Analytics in Melbourne Business School. And we are talking about, using analytics in your everyday, day-to-day organizations and how you could look forward instead of, current. I think previously, we mentioned about how, companies use data, but, in terms of looking back and seeing what went wrong, what went right, throwing the amount of tomatoes, you gave the analogy of, throwing tomatoes to the wall and see what sticks, right? Now you know what tomatoes, which wall to throw it at as well. Why are some organizations are more analytics oriented, and while others are not really? Is data analytics now for everyone? Would you say that?
I think data analytics is for everyone. They don't all have to do big data. They don't have to do big technology, but analytics is really a way of making decisions. It's essentially, what I call evidence-based decision-making as opposed to what is commonly done, which is
assumptions,
which is decision-based evidence-making, where you already make the decisions from your gut or from the sky, and then you cherry-pick the evidence to support the decisions you've already made. So I think analytics is for all organizations. I don't think there is necessarily, it's not big organizations or small organizations. I think it is for everybody.
And how would an organization, who is keen to use data analytics to drive their business forward and all, what should be in place if they already have, an IT infrastructure or an IT team already in place? They've got the CMO team who, does all the marketing stuff. And then you've got the CEO who, looks up into everything. Which particular segment of the organization that is more crucial when it comes to, providing this data and understanding, this is what the data is telling us to do?
I think that's a great question, but I'm going to actually change the focus of the question slightly, if you don't mind, Jeff.
Yeah.
So multiple studies that have been done by academics, McKinsey, A.T. Kearney, have found one single thing that drives the effective use of analytics in organizations, that drives the value of analytics in organizations, and that is the data savviness of the CEO. Hmm. I think that is the primary barrier and the primary accelerator of the use of analytics in organizations. If the CEO is not data savvy, if the CEO is of the type that likes making decisions from the gut and then cherry picks evidence, there is absolutely no way in which analytics is going to have a true impact in the organization. So I think that's the primary barrier, the primary accelerator for the value of analytics. So now to the question that you actually asked me, who does the actual analytics? I think it's got to be driven by senior management downwards. And certainly then you have to have a team of people who know how to do the analytics. And they're oftentimes called data scientists, but essentially what they are is people with people who I call trilinguists. So they actually have the technology skills, they have the maths skills, and they have business skills. They have to be able to speak all three languages. A lot of IT people can speak the technology language, but they can't speak the maths language. You go and hire people from maths, they can't speak business at all. They start talking about statistical methods as opposed to trying to solve business problems. And then you've got a lot of business people who don't know technology or maths. What you really need is all three languages. Mm-hmm. And that commodity, by the way, is very scarce. Mm. It's very difficult to find those people. And Melbourne Business School has a program now, Master of Business Analytics, and our whole central goal is to produce these trilinguists.
Now, so you talked about how, before we, the organization can move forward, the CEO has to be, data-driven as well. A lot of, the buzzword at the moment today is obviously, chief data scientist. And you talked about how, it is a talent that is very hard to come by. Mm. But a lot of organizations feel that, in order for me to implement this in my organizations today, I just need to hire a chief data scientist. That's the wrong thinking then.
I couldn't agree more with you on that point. Mm-hmm. I think hiring a chief data officer or a chief data scientist is not going to allow you to implement and execute on things. I think it has to come from the CEO. Mm-hmm. The CEO has to be completely engaged. And just hiring a chief data scientist, in my view, is not engagement with analytics. I think it's essentially saying, sometimes it's almost a scrambling effort because my competitors are doing this, I have to do this. Why don't I get a chief data scientist? Mm. And you see, because these folks have very scarce commodities, what happens is if they don't sense that their ideas are being executed on or implemented, which has to happen from the CEO level and the senior leadership, if that's not happening, they move ship. Mm. They can easily find jobs elsewhere. Yeah. These folks are in so much demand and there's such short supply that they can very easily move to organizations where they're valued.
Yeah. Now, what about, for some who say, you can't just follow what the data says, there are surely some blind spots, in terms of, what the data that you have produced and what are the reports that you have in order to move forward. Could you just rely on that and hope for success?
No. And I think, a lot of people believe that, data telling the truth. What they don't recognize is that data come with their own biases and their own problems. And a lot of folks are not actually necessarily aware of those biases. And one of the things that I talk about that actually resonates very well with, in fact, the audiences I spoke with in Malaysia as well, is this problem of causality. And if you don't mind, I can talk about that in the context of movies, actually. So there's always been this view that amongst movie studio folks that you need to release movies in the summer because that's when you have the best chance of getting a blockbuster hit. Mm-hmm. You see, the big problem with that logic is, so then what happens is, when do you think you get a blockbuster hit? Only in the summer. Not because there's necessarily, maybe partly because there's lots of people who come to watch movies in the summer, but also because that's the only time when movie studios release movies. So you have a chicken and egg problem that actually is called endogeneity. Mm. And in fact, it was featured in a New York Times article recently. And this is a phenomenon that exists in a lot of data sets and a lot of analytics applications around the world, which is you can't necessarily understand the causality, what is driving what. And I think it's something that's profoundly important, but it's a blind spot that people don't recognize at all. And in fact, you'd be quite surprised to know that before 1975, only 20% of the blockbuster hits were released in the summer.
Oh.
In 1975, something very special happened. Jaws was released in the summer.
Right.
It was a huge hit. Movie studios started believing that that's the time when you need to actually release movies. And now it's actually become so severe that in the last 10 years, 80% of the blockbuster hits have been released in the summer.
Wow.
And so there's this chicken and egg problem that's quite serious, and most folks don't even, you know about this.
Mm, mm. So last but not least, though, I mean, for companies that are now keen to move into data analytics, what should be their first steps, though?
I think the first step of moving into data analytics is to not... Let me tell you what they should not be doing first, which is don't go after big technology and big hammers as the first step. Mm. Don't try to reach the state of nirvana in one go. You will not get there. What you need to do is to take small steps. Look at the small data sets that you already have within your companies. You might have collected data on customer satisfaction. Try to, instead of just tracking customer satisfaction over weeks or over months, try to understand what drives customer satisfaction to be high or low. Try to diagnose. Try to then predict what will happen in the future if you change certain things. So my advice would be to start small, start understanding what analytics is, what this diagnosis, prediction, prescription kind of approach is, and then start thinking about investing in big technology and big hammers.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my advice.
All right. I've been speaking to Professor Ujjwal Kayande. He's the Director of Center of Business Analytics in Melbourne Business School, talking about analytics. Get paralyzed if you don't analyze. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.